The taking off of the white garments. The Vespers on each of the days of this week were celebrated in the manner we described on the Sunday. There was a numerous attendance each day in the basilica, and the faithful thus testified their affectionate interest in the white-robed neophytes, who visited during the Vespers of each day the sacred font where they had been born to the new life of grace. This afternoon, the concourse of people is greater than on the preceding days, for an interesting ceremony is to take place. The neophytes are about to lay aside the outward symbol of innocence which they have been wearing, but they are also to give a solemn promise to maintain the inward purity of soul. By this public ceremony, the Church restores the newly baptized to the duties of their ordinary station of life. They must now return to the world and comport themselves as Christians, disciples of Christ, for such they are. The visit to the baptistry has been made, and the office of Vespers has terminated with the station before the crucifix of the chancel. The neophytes are then led to a room adjoining the cathedral, in which is prepared a large vessel of water. The bishop goes to his throne. Seeing the newly baptized standing around him, he addresses them in a discourse, wherein he expresses the joy he feels as pastor at the increase wherewith it has pleased God to bless his much-loved flock. He congratulates them upon the grace they have received, and then, alluding to the main object of their coming together this afternoon, that is, the laying aside of the white garments they received after baptism, he warns them, with paternal affection, to keep a guard over themselves and see that they never sully the purity of soul, of which their white robes have been but an emblem. These were lent to the neophytes by the Church, as we said on Holy Saturday. They come now to restore them. The water in which the garments are to be washed is blessed by the pontiff. As soon as he has finished the address to which we have just been alluding, he says a prayer, wherein he speaks of the power given to this element of cleansing the stains of the soul herself. Then turning to the neophytes, he recites the 116th Psalm in thanksgiving, to which he adds this beautiful prayer. Visit, O Lord, thy people with thy salvation. Behold it now illumined with the paschal joy. But do thou vouchsafe to preserve in our neophytes what thou thyself hast wrought in them unto salvation. Grant that whilst laying aside these white robes, the change may be but exterior, that the spotless purity of Christ, which the eye cannot see, may ever be in their souls, so that they may never lose it, and that thy grace may assist them to gain, by good works, that immortal life whereunto the paschal mystery obliges us to aspire. After this, aided by their sponsors, the men by their godfathers, the women by their godmothers, the neophytes take off their white garments, which are then consigned to those whose duty it is to wash and keep them. The sponsors, having assisted their spiritual children to put on their ordinary dress, lead them to the pontiff, who distributes to each an image of the divine lamb stamped on wax. It is the paschal symbol. A last vestige of this interesting ceremony is the distribution of the Agnus Dei. This distribution is made by the Pope on this day in Rome, the first and every seventh year of his pontificate. We have already described the rite observed in their blessing, and we then drew the attention of our readers to the allusion to the ancient form of baptism by immersion. The Agnus Dei are blessed on the Wednesday of Easter week. On the following Saturday, there is what is called Papal Chapel in the palace. After High Mass, the Agnus Dei are brought before the pontiff, who is seated on a throne. The prelate who presents them sings the following words, which are taken from one of the beautiful responsories given above. Holy Father, These are the new lambs, and they have announced to us the Alleluia. They have come but now to the fount. They are filled with light. The Pope answers, Deo gratias. They who are happy enough to witness this function are forcibly reminded of the ancient ceremony we have been describing, in which the newly baptized were led before the bishop as the innocent lambs whom he so gladly welcomed. The Pope then distributes the Agnus Dei to the cardinals, prelates, and others presented by the Master of Ceremonies. And thus is concluded this function, which is interesting not only because of its signification, but also because of the sacred object wherewith it consoles us. We cannot conclude this last day of our Neophytes octave without saying a few words upon the Anotine Pasch. It was the anniversary day of the previous Easter Sunday, and was looked upon as the especial feast of those who were a year old in the grace of their baptism. The Mass was solemnly celebrated for them. The remembrance of the happy day, when they were made children of God, was thus brought before them. And of course, their families kept the glorious anniversary as a glad holiday. If it came during Lent, the Anotine was not kept, or it was deferred till Easter Monday. It would seem that in some places, in order to avoid these continual changes, the anniversary of baptism was regularly fixed for this, the Saturday of Easter week. When the custom of administering baptism at Easter fell into disuse, the Anotine Pasch also ceased to be observed. However, we find traces of it as late as the 13th century. The custom of looking on the anniversary of our baptism as a feast day is one of those which may be called Christian instincts. The pagans made much of the day which had given them temporal birth. Surely we ought to show quite as much respect to the anniversary of our baptism when we were born to the supernatural life. Saint Louis used to sign himself Louis of Poissy, because it was in the little church of Poissy that he had received baptism. Let us learn from this holy king to love the day and the place of our baptism, that is, of our being made children of God and of his church.